The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. Everybody, welcome to Pick Six Podcast, your sports daily NFL podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Tuesday, May the 10th, if you are listening to the podcast in audio form. Monday, May 9th, if you are watching on video, YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. Joining me to do a show we have to do because this podcast is daily. And there's not a ton going on in the NFL, but in just enough to fill the content. John Breach, what's up, buddy?
And Brinson, you wanted to do a show because you wanted to hang out with me for 30 minutes.
Yeah, 30 minutes. This may be a 30-minute show.
We will get to some scheduling stuff. We also talk about various interest in free agents out there, but we start with Pete Carroll discussing the quarterback situation in Seattle. He said that the team does not expect to make a trade for a quarterback. Didn't think Malik Willis was NFL ready. And this is on Sports Radio KJR. Love KJR. Didn't think Malik Willis was NFL ready. And says that Drew Lock would have been the first quarterback taken in the 2022 NFL draft. But Drew Lock is currently behind Geno Smith on the Seahawks depth chart. So let's play not truth or dare, truth or lie, true or false. I don't know. What do you want to call it?
False or truth.
Okay.
False. Well, I don't know what game we're playing, so how can I name it? I can name it after the fact.
All right. Buy or sell. How about that? That's easy enough.
Okay. How about buy or rent?
How about just buy or sell?
A lot of people rent now.
Yeah, but it's the same thing as buying.
Not renting and buying are different, Brinson.
Yeah, but you're not. Okay. buy or sell, the Seahawks will not make another trade for a quarterback prior, assuming no injury, prior to the season starting.
I buy that. But you know what? Pete Carroll has been like Mr. Semantics all offseason. He was asked at the combine if they're going to trade Russell Wilson. Well, that's not our intention. That's not our intention. This one, he said no, but it feels like the opening was, but you know what? We might go sign someone as a free agent. You didn't ask me that. You just said, are we going to trade for someone? And I'm telling you no. So maybe Baker Mayfield gets cut, or maybe Jimmy Garoppolo gets cut, because both are possible. And then the Seahawks are like, okay, well, they're right there, and we could upgrade a quarterback, and we can sign them at our price. We don't have to pay $25 million like we would if we trade for Jimmy, or $18 million if we traded for Baker Mayfield. So I do not think they will trade for a quarterback, but I could absolutely see them sign someone if one of those guys becomes available.
I think that's a great call, that they are interested in those guys. I also thought it was interesting how Baker Mayfield went on that podcast, whatever, you know, where he's on the couch with his dogs, like passed it, dogged out. And he was asked, like, all right, so where do you think you're going to go? He's like, well, I would have said Indy, but I mean, like, no, it's obviously just going to be Seattle. And then the very next day, the Seahawks re-signed Geno Smith. Sort of as a, hey, settle down, Baker. Yeah, like, and I mean, also a stupid thing to say from Baker. Like, you don't need to be like, the only pathetic losers without a quarterback who need me are Seattle, you know? Like, I don't think they'll trade for Baker, and I don't think they'll trade for Jimmy G. I think you're right. I think those price tags are too exorbitant. And additionally, I'm just not sure the 49ers and the Seahawks are going to execute some trade that provides the Seahawks a potential upgrade at quarterback prior to the 2022 season, because the 49ers consider themselves a playoff contender and will have to play the Seahawks twice. Now, if they end up having to cut Jimmy G for salary cap reasons, and they have less than $1 million in salary cap space, and Jimmy G would free up $25.55 million in salary cap space. If that were to happen, then I do think that it is possible the Seahawks could sign him. But, and maybe Jimmy wants revenge on San Francisco. I don't know. I mean, it feels like Seattle or Carolina would be the most likely landing spots for those situations. But yeah, I think that's the semantics that Pete Carroll's playing with. Yes, we could sign another quarterback, but no, we are not going to go out and actively try to get one. Worth noting, in 2012, that the Seahawks made the playoff. Did they make the playoffs? What's that?
They made it.
No, in 2011, they missed the playoffs, right?
2012, they made it. And Russell Wilson's rookie year. They definitely made it in 2010. 2011, the beast year was one of those.
2010 was the beast year. That's right. Sorry. 2011, they went 7-9 and missed it. 2010, they went 7-9 and made the playoffs with Tavares Jackson as their starting quarterback, I think, for the full season.
Yeah, 2010 season was beastquake when they beat the Saints.
Oh, no, they had Hasselbeck then.
And then 2011, they did not make the playoffs, but they went 7-9 in both years.
Yes. I sort of wonder if Pete Carroll doesn't look at this Geno Smith, Drew Lock amalgamation and think that could be my Charlie Whitehurst / Tavares Jackson. I won't lump Matt Hasselbeck in that group, even though I think he was probably pretty old at the time of his. He was 35 at the time. So we're not talking about like peak era Matt Hasselbeck. He had 12 touchdowns in 14 games. But I think I think that's what Pete Carroll is going for. He and John Schneider think that they can kind of cobble together above average defense that people aren't expecting to see, that they can coach up this team and they can have this just muddle games into ugly affairs and find a way to win somewhere between 7 and 10 games and maybe backdoor the playoffs. Yeah, I think pretty less than likely, but like that's the only thing I can come up with as to why that might be like what the Seahawks might be trying to do this offseason.
Well, this is like Pete Carroll's fantasy. You know, we heard the whole time the last 2 years about let Russ cook, let him in the kitchen, run the offense through him. Pete Carroll doesn't want a quarterback in the kitchen. Pete Carroll wants defensive players and a running back in the kitchen. The quarterback is just like out in the family room lounging around. He doesn't have to do anything. And so I think Pete Carroll's thinking, let's get back to Pete Carroll football and
he wants the quarterback bussing the food to the table from the kitchen.
Like he is more than happy. He's more than happy having a game manager. And so he's thinking, hey, look, Drew Lock, Geno Smith, one of those two guys can be a game manager in my system. I don't need a superstar. We're going to run the ball and we're going to play defense. That's how I win.
I agree. I think that's where they're at. Now, I don't think it's going to work this year, but weirder things have happened.
I mean, that is true.
They're clearly the fourth best team in the division.
Yes. Like, yeah. Well, I mean, it'll be interesting, like, if Trey Lance ends up being the 49ers starter, how much does that drop them? Because we don't know how good Trey Lance is going to be. And then you have the 49ers and Seahawks duking it out. I feel like the 49ers still have a better roster, but then that division goes from easily the best in the NFL last year to, not even top three.
Especially Murray refuses to play because he's not signed. Right. So like all of a sudden, it's like, this is a bottom five division.
All of a sudden, the Rams get a bye to the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay. Jimmy Garoppolo rumors. You mentioned him. Cody Benjamin wrote about this a couple hours ago on Monday. Headline is Jimmy Garoppolo trade rumors, :49ers aiming to deal quarterback just before 2022 training camp per report. That is according to ESPN and Nick Wagner, who writes that the 49ers are, and I mentioned this a few minutes ago without having read this article, on 999 The Fan with my pal Adam Gold. I think you've been on 999, right, with Gold? And I know Wilson has.
Yes, I have been on with Gold.
We actually talked about Jay. He had JLC on last week to talk about his quarterback tiers. And he asked me about that. But I think the Niners are definitely going to slow play this Garoppolo thing and see if there's an injury in the offseason. They're not going to trade him to Seattle. It just doesn't work. That doesn't work. But then you got to play Jimmy twice a year. And if you miss the playoffs because Jimmy G beat you up, you feel like an idiot. So I think they're gonna try and push the decision as far as possible, and then hope you're not rooting for anybody to get hurt, but you know, I mean, who knows what could happen? There's a number of things, whether it's retirement, trade, injury, suspension, any of those things could happen that could create a major need for another team at the quarterback position. And they might be willing to trade for Jimmy G. And if that's the case, you can get something back for him. Or worst case is you can't trade him at all. And you either one, cut him and get $25 million in cap space. Or two, you just give him, say, all right, look, man, you're going to compete with Trey Lance again this year.
Yeah. This is just an interesting situation because it's a little different than the Baker Mayfield one, because I think that most people would agree that Deshaun Watson is an upgrade over Baker Mayfield. But we don't know that Trey Lance is an upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo. And also, the 49ers, there's no risk in holding on to him. They can cut him the day before the season start, and like you said, save $25 million. The Browns have to pay Baker Mayfield $18 million unless they trade him away. That is not the case with Jimmy Garoppolo. His salary goes off the books if they release him or trade him. So the only way they have to pay him is if they keep him on the roster. And the thing is, if you let him go to training camp, I feel like you have to give him some first team reps. You can't just give the job to Trey Lance. It has to be a QB competition, because then you just look dumb if you're keeping Jimmy Garoppolo on the roster, who just led you to an NFC title game, and then you're just putting him on the bench and not letting him do anything. And if you give him first team reps, then you're taking away reps from Trey Lance, who probably needs them more. And so it becomes this whole dynamic, this whole conundrum that the 49ers have put themselves in. So I think the smart thing would be to get rid of him before training camp starts. But like you said, Brent, if there's no trade partners, and then you got to wait it out and wait to see if someone gets hurt, or wait to see if another team needs to upgrade a quarterback. So I think they're going to hold on to him until they're in a situation where they can get the best offer. And if not, you cut them like August 31st and say, okay, we couldn't find a trade partner, bye.
Yeah. And somebody will sign him. Like Carolina would probably jump at signing him, or maybe even Seattle would jump at signing him. Who knows? Somebody will there'll be injuries that'll pop up. By the way, the Debo Samuel thing, I mean, kind of came and went. It's still out there. It's still an issue, I think, but that's worth noting too. Like this is not a team that is in the clear per se. Like if they got to deal with the Jimmy G stuff and they got to deal with Debo Samuel and they don't know what Trey Lance is, like I don't know. It's like this team could be great, or this team could be, cellar dweller with the Seahawks for all we know.
Well, it's funny you brought that up, because Garoppolo was actually asked on a podcast before the draft, right when the Debo stuff came out. And the person was, I don't remember which podcast it was, and I'll look it up. Garoppolo was basically asked, what would you think of being part of a Debo Samuel trade package? And he was like, oh, I never really thought of that. I'd love that.
I think Debo loves Jimmy G.
Yeah.
And I think Jimmy, like, he came out and supported him a ton last year when people were like banging the table for Trey Lance. And I wonder if part of Debo's unhappiness is because the team is moving on from Jimmy G, who, like, you can knock him all you want. He's not an elite quarterback per se, but he delivers the ball where he's supposed to in that offense. And Debo Samuel flourished with Jimmy G in the backfield.
Yeah. I mean, 2 NFC title games in 4 years, 3 years.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will rank Breach's cats next.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
JK, I don't think you actually have any cats, do you?
I do not have any cats. They ran away.
Just like to talk about cats a lot.
Oh, ran away. Couldn't keep them.
The Ravens are reportedly interested in Jarvis Landry. Let's go through some ideal landing spots for a couple of veteran wide receivers. We start with Landry. Do the Ravens make sense? A different team? What do you think of there, Breach?
I mean, I do think the Ravens need to bring a veteran in. So whether that's Jarvis Landry or one of these other guys that we're going to name, the thing is they have so many receivers on the team, but none of them are
any good.
Right, right. So like, it's really a weird situation. I think if you can get a veteran in there, though, you should do it. And so, I think Jarvis Landry would make a lot of sense. He's a guy, you know, he wants to be a number one wide receiver, and he probably wasn't going to be that in Cleveland now that they have Amari Cooper. So it's like, oh, looking at all these rosters in the NFL, where would be the easiest place to go and kind of assert myself right away as the top guy? And it does feel like Baltimore is definitely on that list.
I mean, Baltimore's top three receivers are Rashad Bateman, obviously not including Mark Andrews, but Rashad Bateman, Devin DuVernay, and James Prochet. That's not ideal. Tylan Wallace, too. I really like Tylan Wallace, and I really like Prochet. But, you know, Prochet, sixth round pick in 2020, not necessarily somebody that's going to develop into a true number one or even a number two. I always loved his game at SMU, and I hope it works out. We'll see. Tylan Wallace tore his ACL before the draft, like late in the season, I think, for Oklahoma State. Ended up being a fourth round pick. He definitely has some promise. So I think there's a chance that those guys could work out. It's just, you know, you're asking a lot for those guys to, although maybe the argument is with the way that this offense runs, you don't need to have a bunch of high-priced wide receivers, although they have invested a lot of draft picks in these wide receivers. Landry would make a lot of sense. Just eat up underneath. You know, it's like the opposite of Hollywood Brown, like a guy who just gets open underneath and gets, you know, causes Mark Andrews to, you know, not deal with as many double teams. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty good landing spot. What about Odell Beckham?
Ooh, you know where I want to see Odell end up? With
Packers?
The Packers.
Oh.
Yeah, I think the Packers make the most sense. It's kind of the same thing as far as we're talking about the Ravens and you don't know who the best receiver is on the team. The Packers are kind of the same way. Look, Christian Watson might pan out, but we don't know that. We don't know. He could end up being horrible. And so right now, you're looking at Randall Cobb. I mean, they signed Sammy Watkins. It feels like they need someone else there, and the Aaron Rodgers needs to have faith in someone. And I feel like
obviously need somebody else there. Like it's like, I mean, they could make it work with Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb and Aaron Jones taking a ton of receiving duties, and you know, maybe another guy steps up, a younger guy. But it's just hard to. I mean, I'm surprised there's not more panic surrounding the Packers wide receiver situation.
I just feel like because they have Aaron Rodgers, that's why you don't hear as much panic. If their quarterback was Geno Smith, people are like, oh, season's over, we're not going anywhere.
And it was like if Aaron Rodgers was doing what he was doing last offseason and acting like he was angry and wanted to be away from the team and wasn't willing to play ball, I could see that working. Landry could make sense for the Packers too, by the way. They're just an underneath guy who will probably develop a pretty quick rapport. The one issue with Beckham is we just don't know his time frame.
Right.
I mean, is it November earlier?
I mean, you're talking about a February injury, and if it takes just 6 months, you're already into August.
I think it's pup, anything. It would be stunning if he wasn't placing the pup physically.
Well, no, right. And I'm saying if that's like a miracle recovery would be coming back late August. And so, I mean, you're looking at him missing probably the first two or three games minimum.
Yeah, probably six games. But I mean, if you're getting 11 games or 11 games out of Odell Beckham, that's not nothing to sneeze at.
So yeah.
Get him on the same page as Rodgers, like as soon as the.
And you said Jarvis Landry would be a fit with the Packers. I think any other guy, I didn't want to mention a guy with multiple teams or give a sneak peek on who the next receiver we're going to talk about is, but I think that any of these guys would fit with the Packers or the Ravens.
Yeah. Julio Jones, the next name. Julio Jones. By the way, Odell Beckham, just really quickly, Odell Beckham, I'm not sure it works with the Rams.
I mean, you already have Allen Robinson, Cooper Kupp. Jefferson.
I mean, the Allen Robinson signing sort of snuffed out the hope that Odell Beckham.
They gave away his number. I mean, they're basically saying, bye, Odell. Thanks for that Super Bowl ring, but we're going to move on.
Yeah. All right. So what about Julio Jones?
I'm going to go with the obvious one. It's the one that's been talked about a lot, and it is the Colts.
Look, sure.
Even if you think Jones is washed up, it's going to be – you're going to reunite him with Matt Ryan. He had an insane career with Matt Ryan. Like, those two were always on the same page, and I do feel like if anything can kind of reinvigorate him at this age, it is reuniting with the guy he spent almost 10 years with. So – I like the Julio Jones and Matt Ryan combo. Plus, the Colts could use some help at receiver. And, you know, I think Jarvis Landry or Odell Beckham would be good with the Colts. But I think Julio Jones makes the most sense. Because also, Matt Ryan's learning a new offense, and I feel like he would love to have, hey, look, there's Julio. Me and him are always on the same page. Get him. So, and you know what? Julio might have a chip on his shoulder after getting cut by the Tennessee Titans. You get to play them twice.
Oh, that's true. You might get the old sort of reverse Andre Johnson factor.
Right.
It'd be just like, yeah, or not reverse. It'd be just like Andre Johnson. Like, Andre Johnson didn't do a ton. I gotta confirm this. I'm not crazy, right? Didn't he just light up the Texans for like.
No, T.Y. Hilton always used to light up the Texans.
No. But Andre Johnson played 1 year.
Oh, in his one Cindy and Indy?
Yeah. I think. Let me see if I can find it. Hold on. I'm pretty sure he. Like, it's like he didn't do much with Indy, but he like absolutely
obliterated. He had a massive game.
He did, right? Am I crazy?
He had a 77-yard, 2-touchdown game the first time, and a 32-yard.
Yeah. What am I thinking about?
The 77-yard game was second biggest of the season, and the 2-touchdown game was the only time the whole year he had multiple touchdowns in a game for the Colts. So, I mean, it's.
Yeah.
It's not crazy to say.
Okay. Maybe who am I thinking of? Maybe it's Steve Smith I'm thinking of, who just was like, oh boy. Like, Steve Smith of the Ravens just obliterated the Panthers. There's somebody else. I'm just forgetting who it is. I'll think of it in a minute. Maybe it was him. He had that one big game anyway. Didn't do a whole lot other than that. But I mean, maybe that's the Julio Jones move. Just light up Tennessee twice, and all of a sudden, like, if you're Julio Jones, you light up Tennessee twice and you beat the Titans twice with the Colts, you probably won the division. So like that in and of itself, that revenge angle might be worth signing Julio Jones to play with Matt Ryan. He and Michael Pittman are sort of similar style receivers. Just, you know, big physical and a high point catch the ball, but nothing wrong with trying to put them both out there. I think they like Ashton Doolin a lot, but I mean, you know, they use a second round pick on Alex Pierce. Kike Coutte's there. Paris Campbell, who's the 2019 second rounder. Like, Pittman looks like a stud, but I think there's a lot of questions on the rest of that.
Well, they have a lot of young guys. That's the other thing. So just bring in an established veteran to kind of who doesn't need to play every down. And I think he could work there.
I'm with you. All right. Finally? Yes, finally. It's going to be a really short show.
Short show. Short, you know, sometimes you need that, Brinson. Sometimes the listeners are thinking, you know what, 30 minutes is perfect. I don't need more of Breach and Brinson today.
Yeah. I mean, watch, something big will drop as soon as we get off. But so we have found out some games on the NFL schedule. And I should point out that on Thursday night, we, of course, will have a podcast recapping the NFL schedule release. And there's a big – Debo, is there official programming stuff to mention, or should I just keep going?
You would know better than me.
Okay. I'm under the impression that there's a big schedule release show, because I've been told to block off like 4 hours.
Of your life?
At the very least, we'll be here on Pick 6.
Yes. At the very least, we'll be live on YouTube to discuss the schedule when it's released on Thursday.
At 10 p.m. Eastern, I believe, right?
What?
Yeah.
It's released at 10 p.m.?
Pick 6.
No, that's when our show is.
Oh, right. Yes.
Because you'll be doing 8 hours of
prior. 4 hours of schedule. I'm assuming the schedule is released at 8 p.m. And we're going to go live 2 hours before and 2 hours afterwards, which makes total sense.
Well, the thing is that at 6 p.m. Eastern, all the teams are allowed to release their home opener. So that gives you 32 games to talk about right off the bat. You know, hey, the Browns haven't won an opener in 17 or 18 years or whatever it is. Or the Colts have lost like 5 or 6 straight. So you have the openers that get you there until 8. And then, boom, the schedule drops.
Okay.
Plus all the leaks that I'll be tracking throughout the day.
Oh, you're going to be doing it?
It's my specialty.
Isn't it, though? So we found out on Monday morning, I believe Adam Schefter or somebody at ESPN tweeted it out that, and the Bills confirmed it, of course, that we will be getting a week two Monday Night Football doubleheader. Week two doubleheader on ESPN and ABC. The catch here is that this is not your normal Monday Night Football doubleheader that you've had in the past where there's one game that starts at like 7 and then the next game starts at 10. Instead, it's a doubleheader that's going to run somewhat concurrently, I believe, Breach, with the first game, Titans-Bills, scheduled to start at 7:15 p.m. Eastern time, excuse me. And I might have had these flipped, so let me know. And then Vikings-Eagles scheduled to start at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay. I don't know what the NFL's doing. Look, I actually don't I don't mind the NFL doubleheader. The NFL's had Monday night doubleheaders in the opener for since like 2005. It's been a regular thing. They took the doubleheaders off the schedule last year. So last year was the first time in a while there was no Monday night doubleheader. Now they're bringing him back this year. And I think look, there's been all this talk about why is ESPN cannibalizing itself with the Manning cast and taking viewers away from the main Monday night broadcast. And then now you have cannibalizing by the second game, taking viewers away from the first game. Like if Bills Titans is close, because that's the better game and it's the early game. If that game is close in the fourth quarter, is anybody in the world flipping over to watch Eagles and Vikings besides maybe Eagles and Vikings fans? So you're not even paying attention to that game until Bills Titans is over. If I was going to do a doubleheader and I had to do it this way, I'd probably put the worst game first and put the juicier game on ABC at 8:30. But maybe that's just me.
I'm a little surprised that they're not spreading them out a little bit more. I mean, I know 7:15 is 4:15 West Coast time, so that's kind of tough. But I mean, are we really at the point where people just won't figure out a way to how to watch the football if it's on early enough? Like, I don't feel like people on the West Coast are like, well, I can't have that football on my television while I'm working from home at 4:00. You know, if they really want to watch it. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, maybe I don't know. Am I wrong there? I feel like.
Well, I mean, and one of the commenters, Sean, is mentioning right now, they're actually making the doubleheader watchable for East Coasters because, you know, back in the days of the old doubleheader, it started at 7:15. The second game started at 10:15. But again, you're not watching both games. I understand that some people will watch both games and that you can watch both games. I would think most people would watch Bills Titans till it's over and then switch to Vikings Eagles. So like, even though you have you could theoretically watch both games, it just seems like just a little crazy idea. You know what though? Maybe the numbers will be a hit. And
I think the problem has been that the numbers have been so bad for the 10 p.m. Monday Night Football games. And it feels like such a slog getting through it. Particularly if the first game isn't good, where you're like grinding through the first game, you're halfway through and it's like an ugly game. You're like, oh my God, we have 5.5 more hours of you know, football to watch, which, you know, love football, but I kind of get behind this idea. If only from thank you, we don't have to podcast at 2 a.m. on the Raiders and Ravens game on the Monday night.
And one other interesting thing about this is that I know there had been some speculation that the Bills might end up be playing in the Thursday night opener against the Rams. This doesn't necessarily eliminate them with this announcement, but I do not think they will be in the Thursday night opener against the Rams. Now they have this Monday night game. Over the past 6 years, any team that has played in that opening Thursday game has never gotten the Monday game in week two. So I have to and there's been,
you know, you do the doubleheader now though.
What?
It's usually the doubleheader is week one.
No, the Thursday night opener. The Rams will host the Thursday night opener.
Yeah.
And
wait, usually the Monday night doubleheader is week one, not week two.
Right. Doesn't have anything to do with what I'm saying. I'm saying the two teams that play in the Thursday night opener in week one have never been scheduled to play on a Monday night in week two. So it doesn't matter when the doubleheader is. That's just.
No, I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying there's now four teams instead of two teams involved. So like the percentage chance of it happening are a little bit higher, but.
Well, no, because all four teams that play on Monday night aren't on the Rams schedule because there's only X amount of teams that could play in the opener.
Right. I got you.
So I don't think bottom line, I don't think the Bills will be in the opener.
Do you think I think you're probably right. Do you think that's a, like that's giving them a buy, like a bonus buy too early? Like, is that just a competitive advantage or what?
Oh, I mean, if you're the Titans, you'd be irate because you get the Bills to play on Thursday. And then instead of having 10 days off, they'd actually have 11 days off.
Yeah.
Because you're going from Thursday to Monday. And, you know, that, for Tennessee, that's one of your biggest games that you don't want to lose. So that's another reason I'd be shocked, because Tennessee would be irate if that happens.
That's true. It'd be a pretty big competitive disadvantage. And yes, all of a sudden, the Bills could be, you know, you beat the Rams. And then you beat the Titans, and like you have ample rest time leading into that first week, and then you have 11 days. It's a pretty, it'd be pretty big advantage for the two big games on the Bills schedule. So that's probably a good case. All right. Looking at the rest of the games that we know about, Chargers Chiefs in week 2 on Amazon Prime on a Thursday, week 4 Vikings Saints at London, week 5 Giants Packers at London, week 8 Broncos Jaguars at London, Week 10, Seahawks, Bucks in Germany. And week 11, 49ers, Cardinals in Mexico. Of those 6 games, which one, or maybe 2 if you're so inclined, to get us to 35 minutes, intrigue you the most, Breach?
Wait, am I allowed to include the Monday games that we just announced?
Yeah.
Wait, what do you think of the Eagles playing against the Vikings on Monday night?
Oh, yeah.
That's a big game for me, since I'm leaving this podcast to solely focus on All Things Covered and Pat B and the Vikings. Big game for
me. No, it's good to start early in the season. I think both those teams are getting a decent amount of buzz, and see where we stand.
So my boy.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
That's for you, Devo.
No comment.
I would say my favorite game that has been announced so far is probably Chargers Chiefs. It's Thursday night, which, you know, that is what it is. But I do like that it's in prime time, the standalone game, Justin Herbert versus Patrick Mahomes. I think it's interesting that it's the first Amazon exclusive game as part of their Thursday night package that they announced.
This is the first Al Michaels Kirk Herbstreit game.
Right. And so there's a fascinating dynamic there. Actually, you know, I think a lot of fans will say, oh, we don't watch for the broadcasters, but I think it will be interesting to see how Amazon does things, whether it's their pregame show, their halftime show, how Kirk and Al Michaels kind of work together. And so not only do you have two really, really good teams playing each other, but you also have that dynamic. So I think that Thursday night game, out of the ones that have been announced so far, it definitely seems like the most interesting to me.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. It's somebody in the comments too, Sean, pointed out, I'm having the NFL is forcing good teams to play overseas now. Yeah, that's a massive difference from what they've done in the past. And not like, you know, the Jaguars just haven't been able to get good, but they should be better. And you do have Russell Wilson against Trevor Lawrence now in week 8. Like, that's a really good London game. I mean,
the crazy thing though is we still have that streak of we've never had two teams with a winning record face each other in London. And just looking at the schedule, it's still possible that streak stays alive. You know, we don't know Vikings Saints. Who knows with the Saints, with Jameis coming back. We don't know if the Giants are going to be any good. Sure, Trevor Lawrence is exciting with Trevor Lawrence versus Russell Wilson. But, you know, is Jacksonville going to have a winning record by week 8?
Probably not. And one of the 49ers or Cardinals could easily have a losing record by week 11.
Trey Lance versus Kyler Murray still holding out.
Versus Colt McCoy, yeah. Viking Saints week 4 might be the one that gets it there. Where it's like, yeah. They're both, is it a winning record or a 500 or better record?
Both teams have a winning record.
Okay. So you need 3-1 for both teams to start. That seems like it's asking a lot.
And we already know the Vikings have at least that game against the Eagles in week 2. So if they lose that, they can't lose.
So the Giants need to somehow start 3-1 to break the record. That's right. Doesn't look good for these Seahawks. Bucks would be, should be, if the Seahawks are 6-4 10 weeks in, or no, I guess it'd be like 5-4.
Pete Carroll deserves a 10-year extension.
That's right.
If that happens,
I thought one thing that was interesting was that the Rams apparently petitioned the NFL to play the Packers in London if the alternative was going to be to play the Packers in Green Bay later in the season. They offer this, hey, look, we'll go play them in London. Don't put us in. I mean, I think it's a good move.
And the NFL didn't take him up on the offer.
I know. And you could have gotten Rams.
Don't want to go to London.
Right. Rams Packers would have been a massive hit. Now that also, you probably could have got some pushback from Fox. It's like, hey.
Yeah.
We lost Aikman and Buck. Those good Rams Packers.
Oh, and if people are listening to this on Tuesday morning, there will already be more games announced from the schedule because CBS will be announcing a game or two on CBS Morning's morning show on Tuesday morning.
Very exciting. So it's almost like they're making this maybe a more of a slow drip than they had in years past. So, you know, where it's not going to be, you know, before they tried to keep it like buttoned up, don't let the leaks come out. Like, I think the schedule show on Thursday night is going to be, it's really more about filling in the cracks.
Right.
Kind of, you know, like analyzing who has a favorite. And by the way, the NFL obviously already knows the schedule because these games are coming out. Like, the schedule is done. Everyone knows what it is at the NFL. Everyone at NFL.com and NFL Network is already working on their Thursday evening, like, content that's going to drop. Whereas it used to be, and good for them for doing this, it used to be they would find out when we found out, basically. Right. They'd have to, like, spin up, like, 10 revenge games or whatever it is. Like, you know, here's our favorite da-da-da-da. And now it's like, you know, the hay's in the barn by Wednesday evening, more than likely.
Yeah, and, you know, it's good that the NFL has embraced this because, like, look, people love these schedule leaks, and the NFL was like, well, why would we only do this on one day when we can just spread it out? Because last year was the first time they really started to embrace that when they had CBS and Fox were allowed to announce their week one schedules on Thursday morning, so the same day the schedule was supposed to come out. And now we're talking about this has been milked out almost over 2 weeks because you had the Chiefs-Chargers game announced during the first round of the draft. And then you had the international games announced last Wednesday. And now here we are getting the ESPN doubleheader on Monday. CBS announces games on Tuesday. Fox is going to announce a game or two on Wednesday. And then we get the Thursday at 6 p.m. when each team is allowed to announce their home opener. And then the entire schedule comes out at 8 if it hasn't all leaked up by then.
Which it more likely will have. All right. Sort of starting to hit the slow period here, Breach.
I don't even need to know the Bengals schedule because I know they're going to win all their games. So it doesn't matter when or where they play them.
17-0 to start. Not a bad.
17-0.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will be back, of course, tomorrow with more content. Oh, actually, you know what? Before we go, I meant to, good call. Dominic in the chat caught that. I saw it and erased the notification. James Bradbury released by the Giants, according to reports. Not entirely shocking. There had been basically sort of fait accompli type of situation that Bradbury was going to be released. But then Joe Shane, the GM for the Giants, kept saying, well, we don't know. He's definitely gone or not. Now they have, of course, are down to a situation where it looks like you got a Dory Jackson there. They drafted Cordell Flott, one of my favorite names from the draft, third round pick. And then Aaron Robinson. I don't think I'm missing anybody else, right? I'm not missing some big name that they added, am I?
And they just spent the last 2 months trying to trade him. They couldn't find a trade partner. And they're like, hey, man, we're going to save $10 million by dumping you or trading you. And one of them's going to happen. And you know what, though? Good on the Giants. Gives them plenty of time to latch on with someone. And there are a lot of defensive back teams that need defensive backs. So I do not think he'll be unemployed for very long.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. He will get scooped up. Good player. Just wasn't really worth their contract. All right, that's it for the show today. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. For Breach, I'm Brinson. We will talk to you guys tomorrow. It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.